Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. So you can have your questions, your comments, and your opinion there as well. Last night's Monday Night Raw, folks, very interesting, and we may have a little bit of a misleading title today when we say bad news for WrestleMania because, well, while I do feel a lot of things that happened last night on Monday Night Raw were indeed bad news for WrestleMania, that does not necessarily mean it was a bad Monday Night Raw. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Renewed his contract with WWE. He announced it yesterday. We announced it a day and a half ago, I think, but didn't have a chance to do it here on the radio. AJ Styles is going to finish his career in the WWE. He needs not to. So that's good news with him. That's good news. The bad news, however, actually not apparently re-signing their contract. From what we hear, they've turned down a 5-year multi-million dollar contract on a couple of occasions. And shows appearances pending the signing of a contract. In other words, WWE is edging their best. Benching them. That's usually not a good sign. That usually means you're gone. Now, negotiations are apparently still taking place, so it is possible that Gallagher and Anderson will sign. But if you're in a multi-year, multi-million dollar deal, the chances aren't very good. And now being pulled from all subsequent house shows and appearances does not sound great. Former Impact star DJZ has been signed to WWE. He's apparently going to go down to NXT for a little while. And then I'd imagine you'll probably see him. Some more weird news is apparently that Brock Lesnar is scheduled for SmackDown after WrestleMania, which is probably good news for WWE because that means he most likely and most certainly is. It also means he may be sticking around a little while longer to infect SmackDown. Brock has every 6 month disease. And a little bit of news we want to get has really fallen out of favor. WWE started to do nothing, not even getting a microphone. He then had exactly 2 matches on Raw, both with Dean Ambrose, one of which he won, one of which he lost, and then was directly to main event, where he was winning, but he was winning against people such as Apollo Crews and, you know, other people who were basically designated to main event. This week, EC3 loses to Tyler Breeze. So that does not bode well for the future of EC3. They'll be hot for a week or two, maybe a month, and then it's just straight downhill. I don't know exactly what EC3 did. I don't know if there was a C10. I know. Problems with his performance. I'm not sure what got him in the doghouse, but when you're dropping matches on Main Event after being called up as, and remember, these are five or six people being called up as the future. You're dropping matches on Main Event. You did something. So that's the news so far, Mike. Some good and some bad. We got AJ Styles resigning. We have guys who's a great worker going down to NXT for a little while. And the news, of course, that Brock Lesnar's going to SmackDown and EC3 stuck on Main Event dropping matches.
Well, yeah, and that's the deal. Now, my thing is this. And can you understand me?
Somehow we keep cutting in and out there or something on your end.
We're fading in and out?
Yeah.
Hello, Todd.
I can hear you.
Okay. Hold on 1 minute, then. Obviously, we got some trouble here on the line. What's going on with Blog Talk? I'll go to Mike one more time. Mike, can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you're in and out at times.
Okay, we're not sure why that is. We'll do the best we can here. So, AJ Styles re-signing.
Not a surprise. Not a surprise.
I'm not really surprised.
You've been saying... You know, you've been saying this for how long now? You know, that he's not going to go anywhere else but the WWE. You know, he's 41, 42 years old, you know?
Yeah.
So he's not. Now, look, DJZ, this is an interesting deal because he's got the charisma, he's got the personality that 205 Live would need, you know. So that's a good signing, and that's an excellent idea. Now, from what you said, he's going to start out on NXT, right?
Yes.
So, but I wouldn't be at all surprised that he ends up on 205 Live because, again, personality-wise and attitude-wise and, you know, charisma-wise, they need that.
Definitely hang issues with our blog talk today. What else is new, folks? We're going to do the best we can here. Yeah, look, DJZ is a good signing. There's no question about it. NXT has lost a little bit of their high flyers when Ricochet and Aleister Black and the like. DJZ can add that. Again, he's probably going to be someone who ends up on 205 Live. That's probably where he belongs. But let's get to WWE's Monday Night Raw, because we had started the show by saying there was a lot of bad news for Mania. And there really was. But that doesn't mean that the show itself was a bad show. So anyway, we start out with Seth Rollins. He basically is going through his, I'm going to fight Drew McIntyre because of this, that, and the other thing. And out we get Brock Lesnar. Well, actually, we start out with Brock Lesnar, don't we? And then Seth Rollins comes out and attacks Drew McIntyre, I should say. And says he's going to for his brothers. And, you know, Roman Reigns isn't here because of what happened. Dean Ambrose isn't here because of what happened. And to be honest with you, I'm not even excited anymore. I'm at a point where I don't really care about Brock Lesnar. But this was one of the better appearances by Brock Lesnar, for mostly not to do with himself. Paul and Thrones have done an excellent job of using logic in this build-up to WrestleMania. So when Seth Rollins says, said, look, it's obvious that Brock Lesnar has major trouble with guys who are faster and have a more technical approach. He's right. When Paul Heyman says, yeah, but all those guys you mentioned were last-minute replacements, or he didn't move them from to the last minute, and by the way, he's beaten them all. It's not like he lost any of them. That's correct as well. Go on about Seth Rollins, but he wants to call out Drew McIntyre tonight. 20 days before WrestleMania, I don't think that's a great idea. I think that's a stupid idea. That's actually correct. Saying, look, I thought McIntyre did a fantastic job last night, by the way, but he started out here by saying, not I want the next shot and I want Brock Lesnar. He didn't say that. What he said I thought was great was, you better find yourself another WrestleMania, because after tonight, it's not going to be Seth Rollins. And to be honest with you, it put the seed of doubt, I think, in some fans' minds. Uh-oh. Drew McIntyre really is going to take out Seth Rollins, and we're still going to get Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar after all. I know that's what I was thinking when I first heard it, is, oh boy, here we go. They might be calling a roll here. Did a great job marketing that. I thought everyone involved in the opening segment did a really, really good job.
It really did. Now, it did put that thought in my head, but again, when you mentioned that earlier in the show that he's going to go, Brock is going to go to SmackDown or is going to start appearing on SmackDown, then that tells me one thing, that there's more than a 50% chance that he's losing. He's going to drop the Seth Rollins and end up on SmackDown.
Yeah, that seems like a moot point now. But at the time, I'm saying to myself, well, he could just as easily drop to Roman Reigns and go to SmackDown. So who knows? Maybe Seth Rollins isn't going to be taken out by Drew McIntyre tonight. So I thought it was a really good opening segment. I really did. So kudos to everybody involved. We then get Finn Balor coming out and basically saying he's not going to be in the chamber very long. Leo Rush and Bobby Lashley come down. It was a little weird because usually if you're going to have a tag team match, you come down with your tag team partner right then and there. But I know what they wanted to do. They wanted to have that big moment. Braun Strowman comes down and Leo Rush looks terrified and the whole nine yards. So, okay. Braun Strowman being announced, comes down, Leo Rush looked properly terrified, and I'm not really psyched about this match. Because once again, okay, he's a champion, he's involved in tag match. Shouldn't he be worried about the belt and he's going for WrestleMania and all that stuff? No, he's in tag training, he doesn't even know he's fighting. The stout in this match, say what you will, was Leo Rush. Leo Rush made this match the way a guy his size, even as talented as he is, should act when they're up against someone like Braun Strowman. Leo Rush did a fabulous job, and I'm actually interested in this match. And kind of just Leo Rush and still leaves that branch on the tree out there that maybe Leo Rush is at some point going to get sick of being Lashley's wing boy. Bombs him, pins him. I don't think it made Finn Balor particularly good, but it certainly did make Braun Strowman look pretty good. Now, why they need to make Braun Strowman look good, I'm not sure, since he announces later on in the show, I am entering the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So that don't even have a match for him at WrestleMania. He's in an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Wow. So what match, Todd, but really, that's disappointing news.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's disappointing news right there with Braun Strowman being in the Battle Royal at WrestleMania. That's the only spot you got something to do for him? Come on now.
It seems like he's fallen out of favor because he was their guy, man. He was their go-to guy. Braun Strowman was raw with Braun Strowman for a long period of time, Mike. Now it's just he's relegated to the Raw.
Right, and that's the thing. Now, I did like what he said, though. I'm going to be the one to win this thing because I'm going to throw everybody out. You know, that was pretty good, though.
Wow, you're having all the phone. So I'm going to get back. Now, folks, I can go on for an hour about why Blog Talk Radio just refuses. There.
Yeah, you're right. But like I said, it's like, okay, I did like what he said, that he's going to throw everybody out and win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. That's exactly what he should say.
No, but I just think downgrade. I mean, wow. Braun Strowman had a pretty good Mania. And for a guy who was close to being the champion, that's odd. Anyway, we get to a moment of bliss with Alexa Bliss, and talk about another WrestleMania disappointment. Alexa Bliss is obviously not ready. You say they want out. Well, it's clear they probably have a storyline for her. That's ridiculous. If she's not wrestling, there's something wrong. So she's just going to host. I don't know how long is the musical talent. I mean, this is a guy who is so over both as a heel and a face that he gets the whole crowd involved in everything he does. Every time he comes out, and you got nothing. You got nothing. He's interrupted by a line led by, of all people, Heavy Machinery, and specifically this. But then he's attacked by a guy that it turns out to be, in fact, nobody's day. This leads to a match where the ring is surrounded by Adam Rose-like characters. By the way, Adam Rose announces his retirement at the end of the this year, I think, from wrestling. Said he's going to fulfill his indie dates, and then he's done with pro wrestling completely. But anyway, Noé José versus Elias. It's not a match that's going to thrill you, but I'm glad to see them doing something with Noé José. I'm glad to see them giving Elias a match. At the end of the day, this is how feuds start, and this is how storylines are built, and you got to do this. You got to do this kind of stuff. And I thought they put on a pretty good match, actually. I'm surprised at how many people, when I'm scouring social media today, wasn't too thrilled with Monday Night Raw. For the most part, I thought Monday Night Raw hit all the right nerves last night. And they made all the right moves. They weren't perfect, and there was a lot of disappointing news for WrestleMania. But aside from talk about Raw itself, I don't think Raw was so bad. I enjoyed this match. Did I know who was going to win? Yeah, kind of, I did. I thought there's a possibility that Elias might not. They're not using him, so I thought, hell, maybe they will push Noé José. In the end, of course, Elias wins. And probably that's the end of this feud, or maybe it's not. I don't know. But I'm not against them using Noé José like this, Mike. I just wish they'd use Elias a little bit more, considering how well he gets over with the crowd.
Right, and that's the thing, you know. I like the match. I like the way they use the two guys. This type of gimmick match is generally used as a finisher to a feud. You know, surround the ring with people, you know, that type of thing. But one thing about Alexa Bliss, and as I was watching what she did last night, they're slowly turning her into Sunny.
You know, it seems that way.
Where, I mean, that's the thing. She's a great wrestler. When we compare her to, what was it, who do we compare her to?
Trish Stratus comes to mind.
Trish Stratus, but they're taking her into another direction. We know she can be good. You know she's good on the mic, and we know she can be good in the ring. But they're turning her into Sunny.
Yeah, it really does seem that way. It's a shame. I don't know what her physical condition is. I don't know what her medical reports say. But I do know that even if she's never going to wrestle again, she can't be someone she isn't supposed to be. And she does every moment of Bliss is flirt with the guys who come on there. And that was never Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss was the girl who used that if she needed something from you, not just at random. So I thought that's odd, and I don't know. I feel like it's a waste for her. If she can do something, I wish she would. And I wish the WWE would learn. We'll get Kurt Angle in the ring. And, you know, look, last week, he had an okay match. Nothing special. And, you know, from hometown as well. And they're in Chicago. Chicago crowd is pretty good for Kurt Angle. You know, who are they going to put out here? And it's going to be a one-minute match, and it's not going to be very good. And Chad Gable comes out and clearly tells Kurt Angle to his face, look, I want you to know you're one of my heroes, and this is a big honor for me. And to be honest with you, they had a hell of a match. For what was Angle, he Chad was out. And I really enjoyed this match. And this was one of those matches that if this was the last match of Kurt Angle's career, you would say, that was a good match. That was actually a pretty good match. Psychology was good. The booking was good. Everything was good. I had no problems with this at all. Chad Gable is a worker and probably should be taken away from the poison that is the Rude and Gable tag team. And just let him work. Some money, he's very good work. And apparently, you know, make people look really good because take nothing away from Kurt Angle. But Kurt Angle has considerably slowed down, and you can tell that Kurt Angle is hurting a little bit in there, and, you know, his cardio isn't what it used to be. And Chad Gable really took care of him last night. Really, really took care of him last night. And this was the best match I've seen Kurt Angle do since he came back. It was right up his thighs. It was logical. It wasn't as paced, but it was certainly well-paced. And I thought they both did a great job, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said, with Angle and Gable there. And I was surprised when Chad Gable came out with wearing his coming out to his old ring attire and his old entrance music.
Yeah.
I think he was a better as a singles competitor than the tag team competitor with Bobby Roode and everything. And it was a good match with him and Angle as well.
Yeah, look. Kurt Angle is obviously, like I said, to the point where this is probably the best move for him to make is retire while he still can do a little bit in the ring. This was better than last week. And it made me say to myself, hey, you know, he could still get it done to a certain extent, Mike.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, we did say, and I've said it before, that I liked what they were doing with Gable before they put him in a tag team, you know, with Rude when he was on SmackDown. If they can get back to that somehow, I'd be happy for Gable. But, yeah, and look, Gable had his tights and he had the American flag on his tights, and it made sense. Not only the way he was dressed, but the way the match was worked. And I mean, both of them, you look at what they did, amateur wrestlers doing amateur wrestling.
Right.
You know,
it was booked very, very well. And it really made me, I'm going to miss Kurt Angle. I really am. It made me remember, you know, wow, what Kurt Angle used to be to a certain extent. Yes, he's much used to be, but good match. Then we got the announcement, of course, that Kurt Angle is going to wrestle his final match against Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin comes out and kind of rubs everyone's face because no one wants this. Now, let me just tell you that when the WWE clearly lets their announcers say the fans on Twitter hate this, They don't want it to be Baron Corbin. And then Baron Corbin used it as heat to come out and say, I'm the WrestleMania opponent of Kurt Angle. I don't care if you like it or you don't like it. This is a work, folks. There's no way Baron Corbin is Kurt Angle's WrestleMania opponent. There's no doubt announced that's what the fans want. There's no way they'd let Baron Corbin come out and use it to get heat. And certainly, there's no way they'd let Baron Corbin walk Corbin. There is no way that's Kurt Angle's last opponent. No way. This is totally a work. It's not going to happen, folks. So, for everyone who took to Twitter and wrote me even and expressed their disgust, literal disgust, that Angle would pick Baron Corbin, that is actually nonsense, it's not like Baron Corbin. It's just not going to be Baron Corbin. Mike, what do you think? I feel this is a work, complete work.
Yeah, it's a complete work, and it's now they did kind of with the match that happened after that with Corbin and what's his name. They kind of swerved me a little bit because if this guy is actually going to be the opponent, but he loses that match, I'm thinking, all right, could we? Before you said he's not going to be the opponent, could we see a point where he actually does ruin Kurt Angle's farewell match by beating Kurt Angle? You know? Now, that's what I thought as I was watching that match.
The bottom line of this is that no way WWE would allow Kurt Angle to lose later in the show. Have Baron Corbin come out and rub the fans' noses in it, and there certainly is no way they'd let the announcer say the fans are really unhappy about this and don't want to see it. Unless they do it at a time, it's not going to happen. I would say, calm down, folks. It's not. Things would be a lot different. You see them jump. Kurt Angle, something happened to promote that a little bit more than they did. So I don't think it's going to happen. Anyway, let's get on to the Women's Tag Team Championship. People are just now getting around to saying, oh, it looks like it's going to be a three-way. It's going to be a four-way Tag Team Championship match. I told you guys that a couple of weeks ago. Sasha Banks and Bayley, Nia Jax and for this. Crowd was kind of quiet for this. But I really liked it. Beth Phoenix is not great on. But to have two face teams kind of just have a little bit of a misunderstanding or a little bit of an argument, and that leads into a little bit of shoving contest, and then that leads to a match that's interrupted by Nia Jax and Tamina. This is the best use I've seen of Tamina in a long time. It's something. I mean, at least you're trying to put the branches on the tree. Like I said, it's a little late. WrestleMania happened a little while ago. Can't blame them for trying, Todd. At least
you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was the first time I seen Tamina do a good job last night, and in excitement right there with Nia Jax. And normally you never see Tamina Snooker being good at anything in the ring.
Yeah, no. Normally, look, Tamina can get by with a move or two. She has zero emotion. She has zero facial expression. She has no real charisma. And she doesn't really have that much energy. And last night, Mike, she was better than normal.
Yeah, she was better than normal. And just remember, there was a point in time, and this is, you talked about the branch on the tree. There was a point in time when they wanted a Tamina Nia Jax feud. You know, now, and that could be it. And look, as far as Beth Phoenix, she looks great. Now, can she get it done in the ring? I don't know. At her age, I don't know. But she looks great. God damn it.
Yeah, this is getting really bad. It really is. what I'm going to try to do, I guess, is I'm going to connect for a minute and see if we can't reconnect with this call because this call is just not working. So give us a moment. All right, well, let's see if that's a little bit better, Mike. Continue with your thought. Apparently not better. Well, there's not much in these days with Blog Talk Radio. The best you can do is for survival. And this is service we're paying for and not a small money. If you're there now, Mike. No, he's not. Okay, well, we'll just have to finish up then. Look, okay. Mr. Mull, don't know what's going on with Aleister Black. Don't really care because this is the way you should be using Ricochet. Far, far better. Far better to use him on his own. When you get to see 8-9 minutes just Ricochet and not 2 or 3 minutes of just the three moves he does, it's a hell of a lot better. I feel pretty small. I'm dropping left and only one to that meaning cut. And I don't think he deserves that because I think he's done everything you've asked him to do. But in this particular Raw, Ricochet looked very good. And you're now beginning to see why I'm against the tag team. Aleister Black can look that good too on his own. Just let them be. Ricochet did a much better job this week than he did in tag team matches with Aleister Black when it doesn't even make any sense for them to be a tag team. You got to see a lot more of what Ricochet can do. You got to see a lot more of his personality, his charisma, etc. Absolutely the best way to use Ricochet and hopefully the WWE. Is that what, Mike?
Right, and that's the thing, you know. This is a much, 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 much better way of using Ricochet than what they've been doing. And look, as far as I'd muted myself earlier. That's why you couldn't hear me. So the thing is what I was going to say about Beth Phoenix, she looks to be in tremendous shape, but you expect that of Beth Phoenix. Because of what she used to be in the ring. Now, if they put her in the ring a little bit more, and can she go? Can she actually go in a real match? We'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt she probably can, especially in a tag team match. Look, it's the best you're going to do. That's the thing. When you get to the point where you got 17 matches at WrestleMania, and you want to try to make the tag team, women's tag team match special. You want to get as many people in as you can. It's not a great situation, but they've made the best out of a bad one, I think. It is what it is. You're going to get the Iconics in there, Nia Jackson, Tamina, Beth Phoenix coming out of retirement, Natty's involved, and your tag team champions. What I guess that's the best you do. Again, it is what it is. I'm not necessarily against it. I mean, I don't think most fans would be. It's just that if they're going to give him 3 minutes, 5 minutes at WrestleMania, and you got 14, it could be a problem. Anyway, let's talk about Ronda Rousey, who shows up with her husband. Now, Ronda Rousey is being a much better heel than she ever was a face. Let's get that 100% clear. Up last week in 4 seconds, but okay. Dana Brooke, who probably doesn't give it on the mic. She's loved her. Apparently, I just better than her for 3 seconds. I could pull this off. I'm going to try my best. Pulled the hell out of her. laid there afterwards, looking like her arm was broke, screaming in pain, did a job. Did it? It was an effective movie. And what did I tell everyone on this show? I said, you have to take someone who, in effect, is not able to really fight back against such a person. Need to do that because Dana's in competition to her. That's her being a bully. That's just her laying it on. That's what you want. That's exactly what you want. So, exactly what the WWE did, you could argue the choice of Dana Brooke, but irregardless, that was the choice. But don't later on, and she's out there with her husband, Travis Brown, or whatever his name is. Ronda shoves one of the security guards. Another security guard tries to grab Ronda. Brown basically involved. That guy's just a fan, which means he would be arrested. If Becky Lynch is arrested and she's a wrestler, then Travis Brown, as a fan, would be arrested. He struck a man. But no, he got arrested. And here's the thing I don't want. Do not get him involved in this WrestleMania match. I'm telling you right now, don't do it. You have the biggest, most high-profile female match in the history of the WWE, and if you throw a guy in the mix of this, I'm telling you, you're making a huge mistake. Now, I don't know if Ronda Rousey said, I want my husband involved, or I want him a part of this, or we're not going to resign. You know, she's got a lot of power. So they're going to try to keep her happy regardless. But this is a mistake. It wouldn't be a mistake if it happened to begin with. But this close to WrestleMania, now hopefully it's just a one-shot thing. But I don't know why you'd introduce him now unless you're trying to warm us up to that idea. So I'm a little bit nervous about that, Mike, and I don't think that was a good spot.
I don't think it was a good spot either, especially in the light of how they treated the Carmella spot when what's his name went up and got the
briefcase. Yeah,
you know. So if you're gonna treat that way, then you better be consistent in how you treat this spot. Now, granted, I like what they're doing with her and being a heel, and look. It also fits in the fact that after WrestleMania, they're going to try and do something with the whole horsewomen versus horsewomen thing, then it fits.
Yeah, I mean, they could do that. That's fine. I don't want Brown involved in this now. If he was going to be involved in it, then he should have been involved in it from Jump Street a month ago. Because now interjecting him is worrying me, and I don't think it's going to work. And I hope that's not what they have in mind. But Todd, I thought Dana Brooke did a really good job. I thought Ronda Rousey did a really good job. She makes a much better heel. We had talked about it before that's probably how she should have came in. And things are cranking here toward WrestleMania. They've got things really heating up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. You're absolutely right there, like you said about Ronda Rousey. I think she is a better heel than a face. And like you said, when she put that submission hold on Dana Brooke last night, made it look real. Made it look like she broke her arm or something, and made it look real. Really, actually sold.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, of course, Dana Brooke being a girl who doesn't win much and hasn't had many opportunities, that's the perfect girl to do it with. Someone who looks harmless to an extent. Why would you pick on her? See, what they want to do. So that's 100% correct. We'll talk a little about the interview. This least favorite moment of the show, I have idea where they're going with this. Basically, he says, you know, there's a real job on people, and he hides behind muscle, just like he always did. D-Generation X was no different. Sean was talking about. Batista came off as at all. I couldn't in a match than this match. And Batista did nothing. You know, last night when he started out, I thought maybe he's going to do something to really make me get involved in this match. What he had to have done was to really drop a little bit of reality into this and say, look, when I went off to Hollywood, anyone would have done it. The Rock has done it. John Cena's done it. The Miz has done it. A lot of people have done it. But for some reason, Triple H got mad at me. And I told him, I'll come back. I'm not doing anything different than The Rock did. I'm not doing anything different than John Cena did or any number of wrestlers who were in movies. But every time I made a phone call to come back, I got no answer. Because he didn't want me back. That's why. And then tell the fans, I don't love wrestling. I don't want to come back to the WWE. I deserted the WWE. It's not true. I wanted to come back, and I was never allowed to come back because Triple H was jealous. Then I might have bought into this and said, okay, well, this is interesting. But they got to keep Triple H the face, of course. So it's got to be, oh, no, Triple H is always so wonderful. Michael Cole is saying he's always been so wonderful and fair to me. And yet he's portrayed on TV as an authority figure who's not wonderful and fair. It just drives me crazy when they do this. So I'm not invested in this match at all, Mike, and I just think this was a lousy segment.
It was an all right segment, you know, And I did like the fact that he alluded, you know, oh, you're married to so-and-so, and I want you to be fired so that, you know, you're not in charge of whatever, you know, because you don't deserve it. You're only there because you married the boss's daughter, basically is what he said.
Yeah, he did, but here's the deal. That's a heel move because everyone says, well, I don't know, Triple H is doing great in NXT. If Triple H was fired, what would happen to NXT? So Batista's threatening NXT. I would have rather had this not be a heel face thing. I would have rather had this be two guys with a huge misunderstanding, whatever. Batista saying, I wanted to come back time and time and time again. I made the phone call, never got any answers. Then Triple H would come out here and say, Batista deserted us because he didn't want me back. Triple H saying, if I'd let you back at the time, I let you back. And the crowd booed the hell out of you. And you didn't get over. It's not my fault. We always do what's best for business. You weren't what was best for business. Then we would have had something. But I'm not buying into this whole Batista thing. I just don't like it. So let's get to the end. Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, and the reason I love this is because I said to myself, I don't know what they can do. They're not going to let Drew McIntyre lose after he's destroyed Dean Ambrose and taken out Roman Reigns. And if they do, boy, is that going to hurt Drew McIntyre. But how do they let Seth Rollins lose when he's got to go up against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? Man, did they handle this the right way. And I am so shocked at the fans who were saying, oh, there's no way Seth should have dropped that match. No, that is the right move. I'll tell you why it's the right move. It's the right move because it shows one thing very clearly. Seth Rollins is beatable by a big guy in the right circumstances, and Brock Lesnar's a very big guy. Really pushes Drew McIntyre, who challenges Roman Reigns. But further than that, it makes Seth Rollins even more the underdog going into WrestleMania, and that's exactly what you wanted. You accomplished everything you wanted to accomplish with this booking. You got Brock Lesnar over as a guy who's so in Seth Rollins' head that all he has to do is come out on the rampway, and Seth Rollins is totally ignoring his opponent. It got Drew McIntyre over as a guy who, if you give him 1 second, He will strike you and you're done. That's how good he is. And it made us believe Seth Rollins is a beatable guy. He's not going into WrestleMania unbeatable. In fact, he's going into WrestleMania having lost. There's nothing wrong with any of that. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with any of that. That was done very well. Made me smile. You know, I'm sitting there saying, how are they going to get out of this? What are they going to do? Is it going to be a disqualification, a double count out? Lesnar's going to come down. It's going to be a double count out. No. When Seth Rollins got pinned, I said to myself, that was the right move, man. Ended that match 20 different ways. That was exactly the right way. Exactly the right way. So I was very happy with that in general, Mike. I thought the WWE booking did a really good job on this.
Right, and I like the way that match ended, and that's the exact way it should have ended. And I mean, yeah, it makes him look weak, but again, you're supposed a guy that's only what 215 pounds going up against a guy that, you know, Drew McIntyre is 260, and we know how big Lesnar is. Lesnar's what 290, 280,
yeah,
something like that. So. So, that it made sense, just like the kind of how the in my mind how the ending of the Baron Corbin match made sense. Corbin goes for the end of days, and basically we get an athletic move by a very good athlete to reverse it into a small package. That was a good ending.
Yeah, I think this main event ending was perfect. It accomplishes so many things. It makes Brock Lesnar look like a dick who's definitely in Seth Rollins' head. It makes Drew McIntyre look deadly, that if he hits you with that Claymore, that's it. It's done. That Claymore has been very protected. And it makes Seth Rollins look like a guy who is not a superhuman guy. He's very beatable. He's going to go into WrestleMania to try to be the guy who never loses, and he's very beatable. That makes him the ultimate underdog. Everything is right with this. Now, what you didn't see when Raw went off the air is Baron Corbin, for some weird reason, comes down and starts beating the hell out of Seth Rollins. I don't know why. And then Dean Ambrose makes an appearance out of nowhere, gives the dirty deeds to Baron Corbin, and then Seth Rollins gives him a curb stomp, and basically Baron Corbin is dead meat in the middle of the ring. There is no way Baron Corbin's going on to face Kurt Angle. It's just not happening. But the fans got to see Ambrose, which means, you know, they didn't write him off completely from the Drew McIntyre beating, which was nice. This Raw had a lot of bad news for WrestleMania. Elias is not, I guess, going to sing. Braun Strowman is in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and I guess it's going to somehow involve those two idiots from Saturday Night Live. I don't know how. Alexa Bliss obviously is doubling down, just hosting. She's going to do nothing else. We got a possibility that Travis Brown is going to somehow get involved in this angle, which they don't need any more overbooking of this match. They've already done it a million times too much. With everything that's happening, Becky Lynch getting arrested and suspended and hurt and unhurt and resuspended, and Charlotte's being added to the match, and then Ronda flips heel, and now you're going to add one more factor. You've got too many factors. So there's a lot of bad news going toward WrestleMania on the Raw side. But this particular Raw itself, taken as its own card, I thought was really good. I enjoyed it. Every moment of it, except for the Batista thing, I did not enjoy. There were times when I said, oh, that's going to suck for WrestleMania, but I never one time thought, well, that's a bad Raw. For Raw, I thought this was an outstanding show. I thought this was one of their better shows. People are saying, who wants to see Elias and No Way Jose? Well, I kind of do. I want to see these guys used. Nobody wants to see Baron Corbin versus Apollo Crews. Well, I kind of do. I want to see them used. I want to see the bench used. I loved Chad Gable's match with Kurt Angle. Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins was fantastic, fantastic match. And I really thought this hit all the right notes. except for the Batista thing, which I think fell short for me. Some people liked it better than me. I don't. So I'll have to tell you that I have to give Raw an A-. I really thought it was enjoyable. I really thought they made a lot of the right moves. It went by a lot quicker than most of the Raws went by. And more times than not, I'm nodding my head in agreement saying that was a good move. Or that was actually a good spot. Or, okay, now I'm a little more interested in this match than I was. For the most part, Raw hit all the right notes. So for me, Mike, A-. How about you?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and give it a B+. And look, I really did. I enjoyed Mojo Rawley as Stuart Smalley. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was good too. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hilarious point. I mean, trying to give himself a pep talk. I'm the best. I'm this. I'm that. I mean, just like Stuart Smalley. You know, and that's I don't know where that's going, but that has potential being something.
It does. And again, it's bringing someone on the bench forward a little bit. Okay, no way Jose lost, but he had a match. And he got to show he's a pretty good wrestler. So you furthered him a little bit. You furthered Mojo Rawley a little bit. People are curious about that. You reminded us how good Chad Gable was as a solo wrestler. We got to take a look at what Ricochet could be if he just gets out of that ridiculous tag team. And hopefully maybe Aleister Black has a solo match so we could see what happens when he gets out of that ridiculous tag team and we could enjoy them as solo performers. We got to see a much better Ronda Rousey this week used in a much better way. We got to see Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre put on a fantastic match. I just think Raw would have got an A+. If Batista had to cut a better interview that really cut to the truth, I would have given this an A+. So I'm going with A-. Todd, what's your rating?
I gotta go with you, A-.
So it's really a successful Raw by all accounts. Now listen, as I always do, I scour social media to see what the fans were saying. A lot of fans are really down on this Raw. Oh, we didn't want to see No Way Jose and Elias boring. We don't want to see Apollo Crews and Corbin boring. We definitely don't want to see Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin at WrestleMania. This was stupid. That was stupid. I don't know. This is the way you build up WrestleMania. I'm with you if you tell me this should have happened a month ago. Then I'm 100% on your side. This was way too late to start the buildup. But at least they're doing it. It's better late than never. Usually it's never for the WWE. Usually it's the week before. So we got a couple of more weeks for them to flesh this out even more. And for the first time, I shut off Raw saying to myself, there's a couple of these matches might not be so bad at WrestleMania. Now, I also said to myself, oh, man, there's a couple that could be disastrous as far as for the careers of certain wrestlers. I think Braun Strowman in that Battle Royal, that's bad. I think Elias not being in it, that's bad. I think Alexa Bliss just hosting it, that's bad. We've heard nothing at all about what's going to happen with several different names there. We don't know what Dean Ambrose is doing, if anything. I mean, we've rattled off 17 matches, folks. Because we didn't know about Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns, so there's your 16th match. So there's only one more match, and I have to assume that's Aleister Black and Ricochet versus what I would assume would be the Revival. So there's a lot of people going to be sitting WrestleMania out, or at least being in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And that's a shame to an extent. But look, there's only room for so many people. The cream of the crop is all that should be there. The problem is a lot of your cream of the crop aren't being used at all, and a lot of your third string guys are. that's my problem, with, I guess, Mike, with the WrestleMania card, is there's too many people who probably didn't deserve it and that are getting a feature spot, and some people who did who aren't.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, there's certain things that are they're just starting, like that, like the Mojo Rawley thing, that if they were going to be in WrestleMania at some point, they should have started that earlier. But again, like you said, there's certain people that should be in it that aren't, and there's certain people that should have bigger matches that don't.
Yeah, and there's certain people who really, honestly, probably should have waited until next WrestleMania for their spot, who's going to be featured big time. That's a problem. There's no question. But anyway, a really good Raw. I hope it continues tonight on SmackDown. We should see a great match with Kofi Kingston trying to run the gauntlet. We'll be back here on Friday, and we do apologize for all the technical issues. We have no control over it, folks. So if you struggle to listen to the entire show, thank you. Hopefully on Friday it'll be better. Thanks for joining us. See you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.